We're here at Fluke.
We are.
In lovely scenic springtime Athens, Georgia.
Very scenic.
Home of the hot college girl.
Home of the very hot college girl.
This is not your first trip to Athens. However, it is your first trip to Fluke, correct?
Definitely my first trip to Fluke. I am actually very surprised. I was not expecting this many people, this many different publishers here. It's surprising.
From being here last year, when I walked in, since I got here much earlier than the rest of you, it seems to be like there's more exhibitors here last year than there was here this year than there was last year.
Okay.
Crowd strength is kind of the same. One of the cool things about Fluke, though, is half of the traffic that people get back and forth is the creators who brought their stuff and set up tables themselves are walking around to check out other people's stuff.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Definitely noticed that. Just people are doing a very good job of pointing me towards different people that are selling different things I might be interested in. So it's a real cooperative atmosphere here.
And there's a lot more trading at Fluke as far as like, hey, I'll give you, you know, my book if you give me your book or something like that. There's a lot of that, you know, more than you see at some of these other cons. Talking to some of the people that we know, some of the guys that we know, it's not so much about coming here expecting to make any money. You know, if some of these guys come to show, you know, expecting to spend money, not expecting to make it.
See, and I guess
it's more about being fun.
See, I guess it's my background, just because the way I think, and what, you know, I'm in banking, so right now I'm sitting here crunching the numbers. It's funny as you said that, I was sitting there crunching numbers, like, I wonder how much these books cost. Like, you know, if you break down like a per book cost, and like they're getting sold, their mini cons pretty good, you know, $3, $4, $5 I've seen for most of them.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about that. You don't want to be, I'm not a good enough, well enough acquainted with anyone to just ask them, but that's one of the first things popped in my head. I did wonder about like how are these guys doing with this?
As the financial wizard that you are, yeah. I mean, if you want to join us for the construction of the Dollar Bin book for HeroesCon, Adam will be more than happy to take you step by step how much it costs us to assemble book, because we're gonna do it old school style this year.
I'm all about it. I'm down.
Hey, Adam.
Hi, Brian.
Adam has just joined Ted and I. We're at the bar. Background noise is all of the people that you hear. So that's kind of the lay of the land. We're at Fluke having fun. We had lunch. We've had drinks. Adam's very peppy.
We did shots too. Don't forget about the shots. Those are important.
No, Brian
did not do a shot.
Brian doesn't do shots. Brian doesn't do shots unless you're asking him with a set of 36s.
Ba-doom.
If you're asking him with a set of 38s, he'll do a lot more in shots.
Okay, not gonna touch that. But
so Ted,
yes,
what'd you read this week?
I read a good bit. Can I start with Flash, because I didn't get it? So hopefully, you'll explain it to me. And I think I will say, just like, it looked freaking unbelievable, just from an art standpoint.
You like the Van Shriver?
Oh, I love him. It looked great. I just, literally, my exposure with DC is Green Lantern Corps, and that's about it. So I didn't understand a single thing that was going on there. I know Wally West is, well, I guess he was the current Flash, and I didn't know anything about Barry Allen dying. I didn't know.
I didn't know that they brought Kid Flash, Impulse. What's his name back? I didn't know he was back in regular time continuity until I read Rebirth.
And so he was back from the future.
Yeah. Supposedly, instead of dying, he went into the future.
Hold on. So I thought he was the future. Isn't he like somebody? Isn't he Wally West's grandson?
Yes. He's Barry Allen's grandson. Wow.
That's the only thing that happens at Fluke, nowhere else.
Or at any bar. Actually, we're in a bar, so any bar. Bart Allen is Barry Allen's great-grandson from the future.
I thought he was Wally West's grandson. Okay.
He's Barry.
Got it. Okay. That was almost a dollar bin emergency.
I got good hands, people.
We almost had a dollar bin topple. But Brian and his cat-like reflexes were all on the case.
Former tight end. Now I got too much junk in the trunk for it to be tight.
I was about to say, like, I see a couple tight ends walking around here. Ho, ho, ho.
Hey, yo.
Actually, girl? Oh, that's Sean. Never mind. Oh, sorry. Oh,
that's Adam's girl.
Sorry, Adam. Sorry, Adam. Oh, my apologies.
I think it was kind of continuity heavy for a first issue.
Okay.
But I think they're expecting more people to know Flash stuff than to know, like, Green Lantern stuff.
Okay, so it wasn't really for me.
I thought for a book about a speedster, it was kind of slow.
Yeah, didn't much happen. I want to believe like the last four pages were probably pretty dramatic, and I just didn't get it. I was like, yeah. I saw a skeleton. I saw somebody turn to dust. Then that was it.
Both the guy that jumps out of his insignia,
yeah,
and the guy in the cornfield are both nemesis.
I don't know of
Wiley.
Okay,
that you would have kind of haven't been following Flash continuity. Or looking it up on Wikipedia,
okay,
to kind of know what the deal is. And they talk about the Speed Force a lot, and the Speed Force
sounded stupid.
Very kind of gray area for a lot of people. Like, I love Darwin Cook's comment when they tried to get him to write. They originally tried to get him to write Wally West's exit as the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was putting it together, he asked the longtime editor of the book what the Speed Force was, and he couldn't tell him. He couldn't explain it. And that's kind of how I feel.
That's never a good sign. So basically, I think this is going to end up being a book like I'm not picking up. It's kind of like I picked up the first Final Crisis and wanted to kill myself, and then
I don't know.
One was a good. I will say I can see it being a good book. Like, at least I like the look of it, and it wasn't so much that it was a confusing book. I think it's just like you said. I knew I was missing continuity.
Yeah.
Final Crisis was confusing, and I feel like
and
even if I would have known,
continuity on
I think
that.
I think if I would have known the continuity, I still would have been in the same.
I think if you
same boat there.
I think if you're really digging the writing style and the art, because like you said, it is like it does remind you of Green Lantern.
Yep.
And maybe I don't know, it hits on Wikipedia. Maybe
mm-hmm.
that's kind of the bad thing to say is it's a book that if you're a non-DC person, if you don't understand the lineage, which I've read a bunch of Flash stuff and I don't understand everything. Like I couldn't give you a definition of what Speed Force is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you hit some Wikipedia, some of the stuff might start to make sense. I hope that they do some narrative and just go ahead and explain some stuff to you.
Hopefully.
And to a certain extent, that slows the book down, but it's better than not knowing what's going on.
How long is this supposed to run?
I think this is an open-ended new series.
Oh, okay. See, I saw that. I was wondering about that because I didn't see like the one of. I was like, is it going to be a new series?
Like for Green Lantern, when they launched it, Recharge, I think, is what it was called.
I think it was Rebirth. It was still Green Lantern Rebirth, I want to say. Unless there was a story that led into Rebirth.
That was originally a miniseries, and it did so well that it went into a series. I think with Flash, they just expected same team, same kind of lineage character, that we'll just start it off as a series and we'll be good.
Got it.
So, I mean, you know, I thought it was okay. I'll continue to give it a try, but it didn't thrill me like the Green Lantern first issue did.
And the thing is, just the difference, just to compare and contrast, like Green Lantern, I had no backstory, no back knowledge at all. I didn't know about any of the parallax, any of that stuff before, and I picked right up on it.
Right.
I was able, and I feel like there's a lot of narrative given, a lot of back supporting information given without me having been slowing down the book.
And there was also some suspense in that one because Hal was still not around at that point.
Yeah.
They had to bring him out, basically. Now Barry's already here, and you still don't know what's going on. I don't know. It started off kind of vague for me.
Yeah, because he was still like half. What was the guy, Spectre?
He was still half Spectre.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Devin, did you read Flash Rebirth? No. All right, fine.
So Devin has nothing to add. So I will keep holding the mic for now. So what else? Did you read anything?
Did you pick up Irredeemable?
I did not. I didn't even know it was out this week, so I feel like an ass. But
I think it's one of those things where I think it's building to something really cool, but the first issue was part of a slow build to that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is he's introducing, you know, a completely new cast of characters.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know anybody involved. You know, there's no Boom Studios universe to pull superheroes from.
Mm-hmm.
So the cast of characters he's having to introduce and birth, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that explanation is going to be kind of maybe too explaining.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the critique that Adam gave it. But I liked it, and I really liked the idea. Basically, to give people an idea in the nutshell, is Mark Waid, who is an incredible superhero writer,
mm-hmm.
and is one of the biggest fans of Superman you will ever come across. I mean, him and Millar might tie mm-hmm. for biggest Superman nerd, you know, in comics.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing a character basically based off of Superman as far as powers-wise, as far as credibility and what he means-wise, who eventually falls off the edge and goes completely the other way.
Wow. So it goes rogue, kind of?
And what he's promising is to show why somebody at that level and with those abilities, how the chinks in the armor start.
Wow.
You know, like when you have super hearing and you can't help but hear everything, what kind of comments are you going to hear that eventually you're going to get you know, start to fester under the skin.
Wow.
You know, you're going to see things that eventually are going to start to fester under the skin. So he's promising to kind of lead us. It's starting with him already being bad.
Yeah, okay.
And
oh, wow.
You're going to get kind of an explanation of this is how somebody falls from grace. And really, you know, if you're not a big superhero fan, it's an interesting take.
Well, yeah.
And it's also, you know, you could relay it to, like, celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Relay it to kind of how celebrities fall, you know, the same way. So I think that is really interesting. It's not something that DC or Marvel would let him do with a character.
Oh, definitely not.
But he's going to have free range to do any thought he would have possibly had about doing that throughout his whole career. He's got free range at Boom Studios to do any of it.
So you just convinced me. I'm picking it up.
I'm really. I thought the first issue was solid, but even though it does have to introduce some things.
Yeah.
The artwork was great. I'm really looking forward to it. I think that if you look at some of the things, some of the complex storylines that he's done before, I just imagine this is going to end up just being a great comic. And I think it'll relay to other heroes without having to use those heroes at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it's really going to be solid. I recommend anybody to pick up anything that came from Boom Studios. I mean, they have the Incredibles book now. They have the Muppet book, which is supposed to... I haven't got a copy. Sean got me a copy, but I haven't seen it yet. And everybody that I've talked about it with says that it's incredible.
I had to check that out. I was ho-hum on the Incredibles book.
I was kind of ho-hum on the Incredibles movie. So,
see, I like the movie. I really dug the movie.
I liked it, but it wasn't like my favorite animation or anything.
Oh, no, no way.
So I just kind of assumed that my ho-humness was kind of like, because I kind of thought the movie was whatever. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, no, I guess the same. I might have liked it a little bit more than you did the movie. But yeah, the book was kind of eh. But I do want to see the Muppets and read the Muppets. And I will pick it up Irredeemable.
And the cool thing about The Incredibles, too, is that it's just a miniseries for now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a little short.
But Irredeemable is going to be ongoing?
Yeah, it's going to be ongoing. Okay. I think the Muppets is as well. Is this Toast fucking
duck? What are you guys talking about?
Who'd you get the Dynamo Duck from? Gizmo
huh?
Duck.
Oh, okay.
Hey, can you pick me up a Darkwing Duck? Can you pick me up a Darkwing Duck? I want a Darkwing Duck. $5. I want it signed, though. Well, can I talk about something else I read?
Yes, please.
And I know you're not going to like this, so I'll talk and you can just...
Is that Spider-Man related?
Might be. Well, there's a... Well, I won't name the title. I don't want to offend you, but there's a book that came out with its 590th issue, which was very surprising. An unnamed character had a cameo by the Fantastic Four, so I saw that on the cover. I'm like, okay, it's going to be a BS Fantastic Four issue wrapped up in one. It's going to be stupid or whatever. It was really good. It was really good. And I can only say so much. I don't want to spoil it for anyone that's going to read it, but... basically, it starts with a flashback of Fantastic Four and this... Fantastic Four and Spider-Man.
Right.
They were out... in the beginning, it kind of flashes back to an adventure they had, I guess, some unknown, you know, unnamed kind of time before. You know, you would think of like 5 or 10 years before. So Spider-Man's walking around without his mask on. You know, the Fantastic, they're all chummy and they're in this alternate universe. Well, actually, I think they're in the macroverse or something weird. But
I guess the real history of that relationship is pretty in-depth.
Yeah, it goes back,
like, way back Stan Lee days, he had interaction with them but still didn't trust them. Like, wore like a paper bag over his head, like one issue that I remember cover up because he was worried about his identity. But eventually he becomes so close with Johnny and friends and trusted
Reed
of somebody like Reed
that
eventually he was free enough with them that they knew who he was.
So the beginning of the issue, and this is the first one they really – it shocked me actually. I opened it up and I saw – him without his mask on, I'm like, I thought that didn't happen. And then, you know, now they go back to the current times and they go on a mission. And Spidey, and again, I can't go too much in details, but the main story actually is kind of a throwaway. So basically, what it was, they went back into the macroverse, and they encountered this early kind of civilization, and they intervened, and there was like a couple about to get killed by these attackers. They intervened, like Spider-Man and Fantastic Four intervened. They got back on their ships, went away, and then I forget. And, like, again, because the story wasn't as important, I forget why they had to end up going back. But they had to go back. Oh, no, they picked up a signal, like a distress signal. So they end up going back to the macroverse. And then they show up there, and these Fantastic Four, you know, Spider-Man's wearing his mask now. Because,
right.
Of course, you know, after the One More Day stuff, no one knows his identity. And, you know, all throughout the story, Johnny Storm is looking at him, and is like, there's something different. Like, I should know who you are. Like, he's like, I think, and then, like, he's like, and then Spider-Man's like, oh, you know, just let it slide, it's whatever. And then, so they re-encounter the same civilization, but apparently a lot more time has passed than, you know, was Tass in our actual universe. And they find, like, monuments to themselves in this civilization, and in the monument that was sculpted of them, Spider-Man doesn't have a mask on, but it's been enough time that time has kind of faded so that...
Faded it away.
Yeah, faded his face away. But Johnny's looking at it, and he's like, hold on, you didn't have a mask on then. I knew we knew who you were. And then Spider-Man's the whole time is like, dude, don't ask any questions. Don't ask any questions about it. It has to be. I don't know what's going to happen if you find out. And so the comic ends with Johnny Storm sending a little bolt of flame to the back of Spider-Man's mask and him ripping it off. So I guess they're going to know. So and then, you know, if the rumors we hear are true, I guess they're kind of paving the way from the go back to number 600.
Way, you know.
I wonder do you still read New Avengers?
Yeah.
So you read New Avengers, don't you? So you know about him taking his mask off for those guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if, you know, because he said that he doesn't know what will happen if he starts telling people. I wonder if him outing himself is going to be the cause of the dilution of the pact or something. Because, I mean, he told all the Avengers who he was. If he tells, he's gonna tell the Fantastic Four whether he wants to or not, because they're gonna know.
He pretty much just told. I mean,
I wonder if that's how they're gonna crumble it around.
You don't see Pete's face, so there could have been some sort of weird thing where, like, you know,
milk mustache.
He's I really don't know where you're going with that, but and I'm a little worried to ask. But anyway, I mean, the way it looks at the end of that Spider-Man issue is that he. You know, Johnny Storm now knows who he is. And I guess the rest of Fantastic Four, because they're standing there.
What did you guys – we all read New Avengers, and I know some people didn't like him taking his mask off in New Avengers.
Right.
What did you guys think about that? Because I liked it. I thought it was cool.
I mean, the whole fucking New Avengers comic, I mean, they've all called each other by their real names. It was kind of like Meltzer's JLA and whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
They're all coming around like, hey, Pete, hey, Hank, how's it going?
middle of fighting on live television downtown Metropolis. Clark, get away from there.
Look out, Parker Robbins, or should I call you Dormer Mama Moo Moo Moo?
Yeah, I liked it. I think it, you know, it didn't seem like too out of range for the character. If you take the one more day stuff, you can see him. I mean, because... I mean, it was a half a panel, but you can see there was some conflict there. And it seemed like he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden,
I thought that's how they were going to write him out of the book. I mean, one of the reasons I was still picking it up is to read Spider-Man. And Bendis writing Spider-Man, because I think he does a good job. And I thought that was him leaving the book.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be it, last issue of Spider-Man. I still thought the coolest part of the issue is the playback between him and Jessica. For anybody who's read Eddie List,
that was awesome. Because as soon as that happened, I started remembering. So I had to go back and pull up the Alias issue, like when she just started cursing around Pete, and Pete didn't know what to say because, you know, they weren't going to have Peter Parker cursing. So she's like, you know, saying all this, embarrassing himself, and she's like, fuck, shit. And Peter Parker's like, whoa, why are you talking like that? He's like, fuck, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Shit. You know, and just cursing like crazy. So, again, can we have Alias come back? And all the shitty books that are out there, can Alias come back?
And I love in the background, like, Luke starting to get mad, questioning, what do you mean love with?
Yeah.
Because you could just see, like, Luke having a little problem. It's like, the hell, my wife is in love with that little...
the thing that was kind of, it seemed a little weird that it would hit her that hard, like, I guess, 20 years later? I don't know, but I guess maybe the high school shit still fucks you up, I guess.
You know, you're also talking about a girl's mindset,
you know, where, like, I mean, you know, for the most part, girls think that, you know, everybody should think they're beautiful anyway. So, like, for somebody to, like, you know, because how often do you really get turned down?
I think it was more that he didn't know her at all.
Yeah,
like not necessarily like, oh, you know, I didn't have anything for you, or whatever.
Well,
but
number one,
he couldn't even remember anything about her.
Yeah,
that, you know, that'll.
Well, plus the thing is,
he did remember something about her, but he just remembered her being called Coma Girl.
Yeah, Coma
that
Girl.
That was like not so good.
And you got to think. I mean,
I'm never going back to any of my.
She really
high
just needs
reunions.
To understand that, you know, he's busy being Spider-Man and a dork on top of that. So why is, like, cute Jessica Jones gonna? Well, I mean,
well, see, I think that's the cool thing about both those characters is she was a complete dork.
Yeah.
In high school too. So, like, she was dorkier than Peter Parker in high school,
which is a hard thing to do.
And then ended up with her life, and Pete's still a nerd.
Yeah.
But ended up being, you know, Spider-Man, which, you know, most people would kill for.
Which is so hilarious.
He's supposed to be married to a supermodel.
Yeah.
Except in the movies, he's married to, like, a troll or something.
But it's so funny when shit like that happens, you know. Oh, come on with the Kirsten Dunst. Come on, man. Seriously. Seriously. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
It'd be awesome if she had some tits.
But, I mean, I love the way Bendis writes him with that kind of thing. It's yeah. Like, when Ultimate Spider-Man, when he meets up with Black Cat, and and she's basically trying to rape him, and then finally he's like, he lets her take off his mask.
And he's 13.
And she's like, oh my God! Okay, I'm out of here. He's like, wait.
The best part about that, the best part about that issue, like the entire time, they hadn't had Pete with acne or anything, and then like right in the beginning of that storyline, he has this huge acne outbreak, and then so she takes his mask off, he has pimples flaring and everything, and she pukes her. It's funny, she puked. That's I can see she was just disgusted. She literally threw up. I was like, fucking awesome, great writing. I'm trying to think what else I read that came out. G.I. Joe, did you pick that up or?
I like it, but I still think it's been kind of slow. And part of that is the fact that they're rebooting everything. So they're trying to lay the groundwork for, I guess, how things are going to be different for them. But I would kind of like, I'd rather just buy a book where Snake Eyes was beating the crap out of ninjas. I think that's kind of the point.
I'm a little disappointed that Snake Eyes has been in the book exactly once, and that was like the first issue.
He was on
like
the cover of the last issue, and he's not even in it for a second.
Can I go on record and say I want Baroness on the cover every week, or Scarlet, or somebody just like with her mouth open and like a ridiculously awesome pose?
This message has been brought to you by the Adam Hughes fan club.
Count me as a member, baby.
I mean, I like it. I think it's a solid book. If you're a G.I. Joe fan or a fan of that style of comics, I certainly recommend it. But as somebody that has still been reading them kind of steady, because the Devil's Due stuff was good, and you know, some of the, I forget who was on it before. Was it Dark Horse, maybe? Somebody else had it before IDW. I mean, somebody else had it before. I mean, it was Image. Yeah, it was Image and then Devil's Due. Both of those had some good stuff in it, too. So, I mean, I guess I'm just wanting more. I want more Snake Eyes killing stuff and want more action, I guess. What about you, Devin? You read anything interesting this week?
Is anybody else reading the Dark Reign Fantastic Four?
Fantastic Four, the regular issues?
No,
or?
Dark Reign.
Oh, no, not Dark Reign. I
really?
Read the regulars, but I haven't, no. And I'm going to drop the regular issues because they suck.
Really?
Really?
You don't want to see about Doom's Masters and all that kind of mess? I'm intrigued.
Read. Okay, I can read. Okay, if no one, I don't know anyone else is reading it, so you're the first person I heard say anything about it.
I fucking love that book. I mean,
how far along is it?
I want to say it's like 9 issues in or something like that, maybe. I'm thinking. Yeah, I really don't know anybody else other than like maybe Flacco who's reading it, but I freaking love it. I mean, there's definitely been like 3 or 4 issues that were pretty weak.
That is awesome.
But I mean, for the most part, it's been pretty decent.
What's the premise of Dark Reign Fantastic Four? Is he replacing Fantastic Four too?
No.
Well, they're a private organization, so I guess they wouldn't apply under the
whole. Well, and plus
hammer.
Like. The regular Fantastic Four right now is not really going on with Skrullish and all that kind of shit. So this is like Reed Richards trying to figure out what the fuck he did wrong, or if he did anything wrong.
With a secret invasion? Or?
Yeah. So he's
that'd be interesting.
So he's basically going through, you know, his little machine thing to like look at other dimensions, like where the same thing is going on. And he's like, okay, out of all these other dimensions, you know, he'll run the scanner thing and see like, how many of these ended peacefully? Like the Civil War thing.
Like
went back to
which,
Civil War.
Which Reed Richards did the right thing and which like continuity, I guess?
Well, and I mean, in general. Like he went back to, basically took it back to Civil War and was like, which of these universes did it end peacefully? And he's like, okay, run those back for me. You know, because it was probably like 12 out of like a million or something like that that ended without somebody, either Captain America or Iron Man, dying.
Yeah.
So he started doing that shit, and some of them got, like, put down in the before time, basically, where there's dinosaurs and all kind of shit. I don't know. It's pretty interesting. Hickman's writing it. Chen's doing the work. I like it. I mean, it's been pretty decent so far.
Did you catch
There's only 2 issues in, though.
Did you catch the ad in the Marvel books?
With the black Captain America?
with the black page with the white star?
Yeah.
I immediately thought, uh-oh, they're bringing Steve back. But I think it was Ted maybe on Twitter said, no, that's probably just an ad for Captain America White, which is the Loeb saying.
No.
So I'm kind of wondering what that is. I hope it's not Steve Rogers coming back.
It might be. Or it might have something to do with but you know, with Bucky returning to Winter Soldier cap or something like that. Well, because it's like I want to say it says something at the bottom, like accept change or something like that, or Dark Reign or something.
Let's ask.
Or they won. You know,
let's ask industry insider and HeroesCon store manager Sean Reynolds.
Well, it has something to do with it. Sean.
Have you seen the ad in the Marvel books this month with the black? It's a black page and a white star, and says July.
Yeah, I have no clue what that is.
You don't know what it is?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I haven't searched.
You're not lying to protect my feelings, are you?
No, I really don't. It looks like what Captain America.
Like, was it you that told me on Twitter you thought it was for Captain America, black and white, or?
Yeah, I thought it was Captain America white, because they're so are they.
A long time ago, so
man,
because
I read the Zero issue and fucking loved it.
It was pretty decent. Since Loeb's been cranking out a bunch of bullshit here lately. But no, I think this is going to be like within continuity kind of thing. And if you look closely into the page, like it's got the like scaly looking shit behind the cap uniform.
Like I know there's an upcoming issue of Wolverine that has zombie Captain America on it.
Or is that Red Skull in a Captain America suit?
Is it? I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm as big a Steve Rogers mark as... I read Captain America. I read bad Captain America stuff, and read the good Mark Waid Captain America stuff. You know, so I liked Steve Rogers,
right?
But I also really liked his death.
Well, have you liked
everything it's meant? I'd like them to kind of keep it as it is. I don't want him to come back at this.
Have you been reading Wolverine, the Old Man Logan story?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, it takes place way in the future, and it's out of continuity.
Oh, so it doesn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah,
okay.
There's
See,
no.
I didn't know that.
There's no scrolls.
I just saw
or
like dead
like
Captain
that.
America on the cover, and I was like, no.
No, that has nothing to do with that. Well, I mean, apparently all the heroes are dead, basically except for Wolverine and Hawkeye. So
Sean's handing out money. Sean, what's something cool and interesting that you read this week?
I'd like to talk about The Muppet Show. I read it last week, but I wish I could read it every week, new again. That book is awesome. Fantastic. It's like watching an old episode of The Muppets.
When you read it, did you do the voices in your head?
Yes.
Like, while you're
yes, I did. There's a scene with the Swedish chef, and I'm like, Froggy, Froggy, Froggy. And I said that. It was. Yeah.
I just want to say, for the record, that I hate Adam. I hate Adam a lot. He is
can't
a bastard.
Help it if he doesn't ever remember to make sure
yeah,
things
please.
Are properly prepared.
You want
before.
Something?
No, I'm good.
Ted, you want something?
Huh?
Beverage?
Oh, yeah, Guinness.
Trader, want something, Sean?
Yeah,
not even a soda?
I'm good.
A pop?
I'm good right now. You click on it, and it automatically does
this will probably get edited out.
Because I'm explaining to Ted how to use my camera.
No, what I'm about to complain about is probably going to be edited out.
Are you going
to
complain about Wizard?
Yeah, no, I'm complaining about Adam. Can you get us too? Adam didn't figure the card we're recording on properly, so we missed like... 30 minutes or so of what we were recording. So, Adam, while you're listening to this, having to edit it, you're a douchebag. Sean, would you like to tell us about Free Comic Book Day at Heroes?
Okay. We're going to have a bunch of really great artists. Adam Hughes is going to be there. We're really excited to have him come back. Chris Schweitzer, his sketches last year were awesome. Brian Stelfreeze. We're having a bunch of just our regular customers who just happen to be awesome
talented
artists.
Talented artists.
Yeah. Ian Flynn and Jason Latour and Chris Brunner and Annie Smith and Bud Root.
And you guys also have like a big sale that day too, don't you?
Yeah, big sale. We're going to have a bunch of dollar books and a bunch of stuff. It should be awesome. We're very excited.
They'll have a big tent. If you've been to Heroes before, they'll have a big tent outside with all the artists up underneath that tent and tables for the signing. And then they'll also have books lined up outside for the dollar book sales. It's an awesome event, and they have some incredible artists lined up as well. So, Sean.
Yes.
Didn't you check out the awesome Muppet book this week?
It actually came out last week.
Last week? Sorry.
And sold out. But they're doing second printings of it, so we're going to have a bunch in the store, and I'm going to sell it to everybody probably. It was fantastic. It was like watching an old episode of The Muppets. Swedish Chef was in it. And Froggy, Froggy, Froggy.
What about the guys in the booth?
Statler and Waldorf, yes.
What about, did you read the other Boom book that came out that week, The Incredibles?
I did.
As well?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I really liked the ending. It was kind of a twist, surprise. It was really good.
Ted, you like the Incredibles movie. What do you think about the book?
Like the movie. The book was in.
It's okay.
I didn't know what to expect. I mean, that's just the thing. I mean, it was definitely written for a younger audience. But I don't know. I should have expected that, but I didn't. It was okay. And I think for some reason, I guess maybe just reading about it, because I think a lot of people out there are really excited to get their hands on that book. And I think I just kind of let that raise my expectations kind of higher.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, it was okay. I mean, I'm going to buy the next one.
Yeah.
So it was good.
I mean, The Muppets, my expectations were incredibly high, and
I was
still blown away.
I like that it was a miniseries, too.
Yeah, there's just going to be like four of them.
Which, let's do a little demographic poll. Which cover did you get?
I got the one with the two kids.
I got the Samuel L. Jackson.
Which cover did you get?
Oh, I got Mr. Incredible. Oh, my.
Awesome.
Sean chose it for me, I guess, or whoever pulled the book chose it. I didn't know there were multiple covers.
There were four different covers, and they all kind of lined up.
Now I have to buy them all.
No, that was a really good one.
Okay, I saw something in the store, and I feel like an idiot. I didn't recognize what was happening. But the kick-ass covers, I guess,
yeah.
It was like
they spell out. Yeah,
because I was reading them up and down. I was like, that makes us like K-I-K-K-K-S-S-S. I'm like, what the hell is this? And then I read it sideways. Like, has anyone like bought all four of them to try to put that together at home or what?
Well, a lot of people missed out on 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, but I mean, no one's just buying them to do that cover effect.
I bet there's somebody out there.
That's
who
what
did.
I was thinking. I was thinking like it wouldn't make sense to do it. But I was like, someone probably did.
I don't think companies would continue to do covers that come together if somebody wasn't out there buying all of them.
Yeah, we're like, we're going to make somebody have to buy four copies of a comic they probably already have just because the covers match up. I don't know. Oh, it's Iron Patriot and Hawkeye.
Get out.
Wow. That's a really impressive job.
That is.
For Andy Rutten, who didn't know anything about anything in this book.
That is awesome.
Should I get an Ali-S?
You can.
What should I get an Ali-S?
Kevin's next idea is Swamp Thing.
He goes to Swamp Thing.
I don't want to do Swamp Thing.
So I went over to Andy, and we were brainstorming ideas. What can I get an Ali-S? And I ran one by him, and he actually gave me the kibosh. He actually said no to it. It was Ali-S Michael Vick and Wormy as a pit bull.
Oh,
and he was like, nah, I'm good. Yeah. No, that's okay.
He even got Osborne's hair.
Yeah, he gave him the hair.
That's the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, he was like, I was like, yeah, you can just do Ali as like Patriot, Iron Patriot without the helmet. And he was like, yeah, I'll do the hair. And I was like, yes, that is awesome.
Wow.
Wormy as Hawkeye, just because he doesn't have arms, and I find it hilarious that somebody without arms. So this goes
can
into
I get
my collection.
Can I get Ali's Pac-Man?
I now have
Pac-Man
my Secret Invasion. I have my Captain
and Wormy
America,
as a,
and I have that one.
As one of the goats?
Yes.
I give you $45 for this cover right now.
that'd be
not
going to
happen.
What do you think? What? Ali is Pac-Man and Wormy is a goat.
Is he just going to be wearing like the goat, like the over his claw, the sheet? Yeah, I definitely would not.
He regretted not being on his wall, though.
I would.
If you had to mail that, you'd be like, son of a bitch, why did I sell that?
Yeah, there's no way I would mail. That's it's completely personal to me.
You want to talk about something you read this week?
All right, what did I read last week? I don't really, I don't know what I read last week, man.
Say hello.
Oh, there's a comic show where?
Yeah, there's like
say
a
hello,
comic.
Jay Chris Campbell.
Hello, Jay Chris Campbell.
He's been drinking.
That was a good response.
No, I know.
I could have been sober.
Ladies and gentlemen, J. Chris Campbell.
Thanks, Adam. He was going to plug Heroes Con.
I'm going to Heroes Con.
What more do you need?
I'm going to be a volunteer at Heroes Con. I'm very excited. I'm a dollar bin intern. Yay. Yay me.
You want to intern on the back of your Star Trek?
I read Irredeemable. I read Destroyer. I read Remnant number 3 or 4, or the last issue of Remnant.
Is that the Stephen Baldwin boom?
Yeah, yeah.
How's that wrapping up? I only got the first issue.
It's the wrap-up of the story arc. It's going to continue. It's okay. It's good. I still enjoyed it, and I'm glad I bought all of them. Ted walked away. He asked me a question earlier. I didn't really hear what it was. I bought 5 books. That was 3 of them. I don't know. It's on the forum. on the forum I said what I read or what I bought. I don't remember now. Jonah Hex. Jonah Hex was awesome.
Yeah.
What was it, 42?
And
he said in the interview that Rochelle did with him on Living Between Wednesdays, he had said, I guess 42 was going to be the start he's going to start doing a story arc. It's going to be the first Jonah Hex story arc that they did because I guess DC's been pressuring them.
Well, they've done a couple of twofers.
Two-parters, yeah.
Like the torture doctor guy was like a two or a three-issue story.
Yeah.
I think DC is DC's wanting him to do more story arcs, so they're going to attempt to do some more of that.
I'll still buy it, you know, because it's good. I do like the one-shotness of it, though. But that was an awesome story. And just, oh, man, it just shows how badass Jonah Hex is. I'm not going to say anything specific about it. It just shows how badass he is.
But speaking of Rochelle.
Yes.
And Jimmy Palmiotti.
Yes.
Go to livingbetweenwednesdays.com now. There's no more Blogspot in it.
Yes.
And check out her new site look. And she does have that interview up with Jimmy and Palmiotti, and it's very good.
It's got a link to one of the things that he talked about that I'm really excited about, or at least right now I am, is DC doing the Wednesday comics.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about how that's going to happen. I mean, I like to see the execution. The idea is great.
Well, for the people who don't know what you're talking about, tell them what the idea is.
Okay, so basically, you know, since newspapers are going away, I mean, that's a thing of the
past,
whether
you like
man.
It or not, people.
Yeah. DC decided that they are going to do a thing called Wednesday Comics, which is a lot like Sunday Comics when you would buy the paper, which you can't buy anymore. So what every Wednesday, I guess. I don't know if they're doing it once a month or if they're doing it every Wednesday, I'm assuming.
I think it's every.
It's going to – what's the size? It's going to be like newspaper size.
Yeah.
And it's going to have multiple –
fold out,
yeah, you're going to have to fold it out and everything. It's got multiple creators in it. And they're just going to be – it's going to be replacing newspaper comics, basically. And I think that's an awesome, awesome idea, as long as they execute it well. Are you reading Bread and Cake?
The pornographic Bread and Cake book?
Bread and Cake by Brad McGinty and his girl, Kate. I don't
which
know
one
Kate's
of them is the bread
name.
And which one is the cake?
Bread and Kate. Brad and Kate. Bread and Cake. Brad and Kate.
Oh.
Huh? Is that
wasn't
nice?
The cake doing the toast to from behind, though?
Yeah. Did you... He'll probably give it to you.
Isn't the cake doing the toast from behind?
I don't know, man.
No, the toast is doing the cake.
The toast is doing the cake. But there's bread. It's bread. That's not toast. But yeah.
It's toast to me.
One of the things, like, we're here at Fluke, right? And you guys talked about it. We missed a lot of it. My fault. I guess I should have formatted the card.
Adam's a douchebag.
I meant to do it before hitting record. I got excited when we got here. But, you know, I've been walking around. These guys have been recording. I've been walking around buying stuff this whole time. And I got my Alias that we just talked about. I picked up a couple things. I got Shannon Smith. I bought a collection of his webcomics that he put together. I just want to kind of talk about some of the people that I've run into here while I've been here at Fluke. Okay, so Shannon Smith, who hopefully will be getting something for in our PSA anthology, he did a collection of all of his webcomics, and he called it Addicted to Distraction. So that's going to be pretty cool. I like Shannon's stuff.
Yeah.
And looking forward to that. Speaking of a collection of webcomics, I bought The Adventures of Tobey Maguire from Brad McGinty. And that is a collection of his... That's a collection of his webcomics, which I'm super stoked about because I loved his webcomics, and just to have them in paper is really good. Sean is giggling the entire time because she's reading Bread and Kate by Brad and Kate.
Seriously, if you haven't checked out Brad's stuff before, you need to go to Brad's webpage.
Yeah, BradMcGinty.com.
BradMcGinty.com for videos, comics, lots of different cool things.
Yeah, this is my first exposure with him, and from what I've seen so far, I've...
Oh, you have that Brad. You have that Brad. Was it 2338? What is that?
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Yeah. Which one?
This right here, yeah.
Yeah, this
the,
one.
The Brad 3078. That is freaking hilarious.
Yeah, he threw that in for free with a couple of things I bought, so...
Oh, are you going to get that for Andy? He's very autobiographical in his writing. A lot of what he writes is autobiographical.
Wow.
So, yeah, he was in the future in that. That's his adventure to the future.
Just like Allie.
Yes. It looks like Ted picked up an Allie.
I picked up two Allies.
Oh, you picked up two of them.
Two Allies.
Awesome.
I will love it.
The other
he
thing.
He signed them and he drew little Allies, but they're not cool Dark Avenger Allies.
If you don't like Allie and you don't like Andy Rutten, you have no soul.
I stopped by over at Jason Horn over back in the back. He has a book called Gruff, and... It's kind of he also did some prints of a Darkwing Duck, and he had a Gizmo Duck prints.
I have a Darkwing Duck.
Yes.
Thanks to Sean. Thank you.
And I bought that Gruff from him, and I also bought a book called Ninjasaur, a ninja dinosaur. And he's got a couple of them. He's got Ghost in the Library. He also has Ninjasaur versus Napoleon. And then, so he has a couple of them. I'm pretty excited about reading those. And that's Jason Horn. So I'm still doing my rounds. I bought this other book, Pornin, which is about by Jeremy Massey, and it's about
Pornin.
It's about porn. No, it's about basically using porn as graffiti, and there's a bunch of guys going around hanging up porn and stuff in the streets. And he's also responsible for.
That reminds me of a. Nah, never mind. Yeah. Our style's a little different.
He's also responsible for a book called Deadbeat, and Deadbeat's about to be published. I can't remember who's publishing it. He's right over next to us, and I could go ask him, but you know me. I'm sitting down. It's probably not going
to
happen.
All right, but based on Sean's giggles, I'm going to have to pick up this Bread and Kate book.
Yes, Bread and Kate, which, okay, here's what I love about Brad McGinty, okay? Brad McGinty is, like, embarrassed by everything that he does. Yeah. He apologizes for everything that he does, and it's all hilarious, okay? Like, Bread and Cake, like, I bought this. He was like, oh, here, take a Bread and Cake for free. It's cool. Oh, here, have this. You know, it's whatever. I don't really want to charge for it. It's not really worth charging for. But, like, you just heard Sean, like, giggling the entire time she read it.
And that's also kind of the, like, me and Ted opened up with, if it's still there.
Yeah.
That's also kind of the vibe of this. Of this type of thing is it's kind of a hangout, show your stuff kind of a thing, and not a con where everybody's expecting to, like, make, you know, come out of here making $100 or something.
Yeah, but I love Brad's stuff. He's so apologetic for everything that he does, but it's good. He's good, good, good. It's very weird, very creative. He even apologized for the sketch in my sketchbook that he did.
And the whole vibe here is just so, like, I mean. Comparing it to Heroes Con, where it just seems like it's more business.
You know, nothing against it. Nothing against it.
I had a great time at Heroes Con, but it seems like it's more
business
oriented.
Can you put those in your box?
Here, I mean.
Can I put this in your box?
Hero Con is very family friendly, but here is just just a lot. I mean, it's a lot more, you know, casual. People are walking up, talking. People are everything.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, right next to us, there's a couple pool tables.
Yeah.
Full of stuff.
But it's a pool table with stuff set on top of it. Oh, you're going to do – this is what you're going to do?
You're going to set up
pool
tables?
I'm making notes for Heroes Con. Pool tables, a bar.
Can we get air hockey, too?
If we could convince –
Or air conditioning?
Ping pong. We
air conditioning. Air conditioning would be good.
Okay, that was not us. That was the convention center. And we should have gotten a refund on that because seriously, thanks.
Yeah, first day I wore like a gray t-shirt, I was like, yeah, I definitely pit it out within 15 minutes.
So here's my proposal.
So I'm wearing black t-shirts the rest of the week.
My proposal that I'm throwing out to Dusty is when he sets up Indie Island this year, mimic Fluke. Have like a bar in Indie Island and pool tables and just have people set up on tables.
even though we have – maybe we can't do it this year, but for 2010 – let the dollar bin have the Indy Island bar.
Oh,
we'll set
God.
Up bar. I'll serve drinks.
The thing is, though, I think the phenomenon will be that you'll have more artists at the bar than you will, like, actually there doing
Which
sketches.
Which is why it would be It'll be great for us.
There would be like 30,000 back in 15 minute signs up, you know. It would be fucking ridiculous.
Upon further consideration of this bar idea, it might take away from our family-friendly atmosphere.
Hey, you only serve the people that are 21 and up.
Like, families don't go to bars.
And y'all serve beer at Heroes Con anyway. We just want to add shots.
Nothing wrong with Irish Car Bomb.
So what you guys?
Tequila Sunrise.
So what you guys been drinking? You've been doing all right. You've been drinking, keeping up.
Yeah, I had a couple. Had about like a half dozen Guinness. Car Bomb has sampled a nice chocolate. What was it, dark chocolate brew named after me?
Yeah. it's called the Ted.
The Ted.
The black chocolate stout.
Yeah, it is.
Ted's pretty stout. Actually, not stout.
Oh, God.
It's oh, yes. We will now get 500 million hits for singing about chocolate rain. Make sure you put that in the summary.
Let's go talk to Chris Weitzer.
You want to talk to Chris Weitzer? Let's do it. We also have we got something with Robert Vendetti set up. We're gonna interview him. Totally prepared for that. Let's do it.
Me too.
Let's jump on it.
All right.
Hop on this.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Mangog, half man, half Gog. Thank you.
I fight Thor. Thunder God Thor. I'm the Gog. But not all Gog. I'm half man, half Gog. I'm Man-Gog. All fear, Man-Gog. Did I beat Thor? I don't really know the story of my own life. Apparently I didn't beat Thor. I have a digital spirit. I am not reading lines that are being fed to me through a device into my ear. This is the story of Man-Gog. He knows all. He is Man-Gog. Half man, half Gog. Do not be fooled by my outward appearance. What was that? I have a digital soul? A what soul? He's a gentle spirit. I'm a gentle spirit. I'm half man. That's not the gentle side. The gentle side is my Gog. I am Man-Gog. Yeah, I can't hear you. You're all distorted in the phone. Because Man-Gog does not have the technology needed to conquer Thor. Thor's the lightning god. But I am Man-Gog. I am no Thor. Because if I was Thor, I'd be God of Metal. And my theme would sound much different than this. It would be full of like double bass and like lots of cymbals. And it would have guitar. And the guitar would be like. But that's not how it is, because I'm Man-Gog. I have a digital soul. Gentle soul.